Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the oft-delayed but always action-packed Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu, and we are, I believe, without Alex Talish, though he may be joining us in a bit. But we do have Jamie Jors of the Packers Lounge in the house, along with Holly Phelps of The Other 31 and BrentFarve.com, and Colleen Brenton, famous from Pocket Doppler. Joining us as our live blog guest panelist, Corey Banky. Tell us what's on tap tonight.
We have what can only be described as an action-packed show tonight. Joining us in a few moments will be the NFL writer for the Boston Globe. You know him as the former Packers beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Mr. Greg Bedard will join the show. Then we're thrilled to have Greg Rosenthal from NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk. He'll join us to talk about the playoffs and how he's feeling about his Packers at the Super Bowl pick. Finally, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel may or may not help us join the breakdown of the Falcons game, plus our mystery guest. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got James the Rookie Starks.
Neo in the house.
Tremont, my man Williams.
Saving seasons.
Tom Crabtree.
First NFL touchdown.
And we got the bad. We got Jarrett Bush from scrimmage.
Okay on special teams, not so much from scrimmage.
Darren College.
You know, I have to amend this. I think I was unfair to Darren. He had one or two plays that I saw that were a little rough, but I went back, watched the tape. Darren, buddy, sorry, bro. You weren't that bad.
And we got the ugly. We got a bad. We got Brandon Underwood.
Brandon, buddy, get away from it. Just get away from the ball. Get the ball's there. Get away from it. You see that ball? Get away from it.
Sorry, I had to go to the ugly. We got the E-A-G-L-E-S, or Eagles! Otherwise known as the A-S-S-H-O-L-E fans.
Hey now. Don't dream it's over. The Eagles, they were the ugly against the Green Bay Packers. Hey, you know what?
Man, you want to talk about the ugly?
You remember those days when they had never lost a wild card playoff game at home? Oh, yeah, that was before Sunday.
Those days are over.
We're living in a different world now, ladies and gentlemen. A world where Corey Banky invades the link in Philadelphia.
Wow. That was dangerous.
How was that?
It was insanity.
How was your trip? How was being at the playoff game in Philadelphia where the Packers won?
It was good. There were a lot of incognito Packer fans, let me just say that.
You told me about this.
Seriously.
Now, tell me the story of the woman you found
after the game. So after the game, this woman comes up to us. She drove to Connecticut with her boyfriend, right?
Right.
And she comes up to Rachel, and she's like, "You guys, I can't believe you guys wore all your colors. You know, we're all decked out or whatever."
Right, of course.
And on the front row. And she's like, she unzips her jacket. Like, she has this black jacket on.
Right.
And there's, like, an A.J. Hawk jersey underneath. And I'm like, wait, what is happening in the Packer?
Seriously.
I think 30% of all Packer fans that went to that game were
covered
incognito.
Covered up.
They were afraid of what might happen.
Shameful. Just shameful.
It really is. We have some pictures.
We do. Corey Banky has put together a slideshow. We used to do this quite a little bit. We haven't done it in a while, but
yeah, we do.
Here we go. This is Philly versus Green Bay, as done by Corey Banky, and this will be riveting on the podcast.
Yes, Andy, man, I am still going to ATL. We'll get to that.
Hey, let's slow down. We got a Philly game.
There's
a victory to cover.
I think it's funny that the Philadelphia Eagles only have Reggie White
have
and
Reggie
Ron
White
Jaworski.
And Ron Jaworski.
Seriously?
As their people, like, up in the stadium. And they had to take Donovan McNabb down because they traded him. Yikes. But Reggie was up there watching his two teams, and obviously his preferred team won. And yes, I realize he played for a year with the Panthers. We're not going to talk about that. But this is great stuff.
Tremont and there's my two favorite players in the Packers right there.
Yeah, exactly. Rodgers and Tremont.
What else do you want? You cannot get better than that. And Clay's bike was right there. I swear. Clay was like the only one who would like consistently be riding the bike.
Well, you know, he's got to keep
the heat warmers are over there, so, you know, that's nice. There he is.
See, there you go. He's riding the bike. It's good stuff. Did you get how much grief did you get from front rowers?
A ton.
Who were
look at that. Coon.
Everybody in coats.
Everybody's in coats except Coon.
Coon's like, forget you all. I don't wear no coat.
That's like
I'm John
Coon.
I don't. Every single person in that shot had a coat on, except John Coon.
John Coon's like, nah. I got to be ready.
Shippensburg, don't roll that way. Coon issues
Of course, I didn't get to see the interception where I was sitting. I didn't get to see it that well. It was blocked by Packer players, unfortunately. But when I saw it on the highlight, it was pretty dang amazing.
And it was your boy. It was
there
Tremont.
It is right there. Everybody's excited.
Your boy
at the
Tremont.
End of the game. And, you know, Colin Jenkins came and talked to some people, which was nice.
Very nice. Well, you know.
You know, there he is. He's signing
it's
some
big,
stuff.
Sexy
he's the
sign.
Only Packer to come over there, which, you know, you got to have some guts to come over there.
I love this. Ending with the
21-16.
Score.
Come on.
21-16 Pack. That's some good stuff.
What do you want in life? We're going to see some video. I got some HD video of Aaron Rodgers getting a first down, scoring a touchdown with James Jones, and throwing to Greg Jennings on the sideline.
Some hot stuff. My favorite part is after the touchdown, you hear Corey ready to celebrate, and then the thing cuts off because he gets so excited.
Yeah, I had to turn the camera off.
You had to turn the camera off because, you know, you can't be celebrating while you're filming. It just doesn't work.
It was insane. You know, Philly, their whole thing is using the ASS word. That's what they do. They call people that. They call people donkeys.
Oh, dear.
But that's all they do. That's like their thing, you know? It's like our thing is to go, don't, go, Pack, go.
And
their thing is to go, asshole. That's all they do. They like see you, right? And you're in full regalia, right?
Oh,
and of course,
dear.
Justin Debo, okay? Uh-huh. That's his Twitter name,
right,
Justin.
Right.
He decides to go where the most diehard Philly fans. You know they're diehards because they've got like the 1957 RV with like the old Eagles insignias on it.
Oh no!
And you're walking in it's like serious, and we're in the middle of the parking lot.
Right, right.
I'm like, dude, you couldn't like pick satellite parking. It was awesome.
Oh well, they came out with a victory again.
That's all you need in life.
I mean, they're on a roll, kids. This team, it's on a roll. I've been saying since the Patriots game, they're playing the best football they have played under McCarthy.
At the right time, too.
They're peaking at the right time. So just get on board or shut up, as Aaron Rodgers would say. And speaking of getting on board or shutting up, it's time to get on board the James Starks Express.
Everybody's on it. But everybody was on it really early before he did everything.
Or is it?
I'm on it.
Is it time?
It's time.
So now, here's the thing.
I liked what Holly said. She said radio, which...
on the lead-in.
On the
nice.
Lead-in.
Well done, guys.
Yes.
Great stuff.
Holly made a really good point. Mike McCarthy overthinking himself. And I was like, what if he's like, oh, yeah, let me get Dimitri Nance or Quinn Johnson or, you know...
Here's the thing.
Just overthink it.
Here's the thing about the running game. And here's what I think Holly alluded to this a little bit. And CD did it as well on Cheesehead Radio. And I am in agreement with some of it, but not all of it. If you go back and look at the running attempts against Atlanta the first time around, many of them were out of two tight end or spread formations, mm-hmm. Where they have sometimes even just five offensive linemen and a bunch of backs and receivers and, you know, no power formations except for a third and one and then one other carry. A lot of times, Brandon Jackson is getting hit in the backfield directly after he gets, you know, the ball from Rodgers. So the question is, does McCarthy change it up? Does he come out in his inverted wishbone like you saw against the Eagles? Does he go back to the Falcon and Rhino sets? Or does he go back to what worked the first time? Does he spread them out? Does he go with the big five? And does he run the up-tempo, no-huddle offense? And I got to say, I think everyone's, you know, the punditry is saying, oh, they're dangerous now because they've got a rushing attack. James mm-hmm. Starks out of nowhere. Well, not so. Hold the phone there.
You know what? I hear you. I don't really care what scheme they go to.
Exactly.
Because
I want
Brandon Jackson's screen. Okay.
Yes.
That was a thing of beauty.
Yes, it was.
Okay. James Starks wasn't anywhere around there. That was Brandon Jackson being patient
yep.
and letting his guys get outside and scoring a touchdown. I haven't given up on him. You know what? It takes all these guys. That's what it takes.
That's the thing.
It takes John Coons. It takes Tom Crabtree catching for the first time touchdowns. That's where it is. It's dinking and dunking.
Absolutely.
Spread them out. As many guys as I can get involved in this offense. Let's go.
That's the thing. Last time, Atlanta kept their safeties back. You know, they let Rodgers throw it, and he did, and he moved it up and down the field. Twice in the beginning of the game, they're in the red zone, and they come away with no points. One time, they got a field goal.
Well, let's show that video. I think this might be a good time to show that, because that's the second time. That was the second, the James Jones catch in the end zone. So,
You're talking about the Philly game. Oh, is it that time?
Sorry.
No,
it wasn't. This is, hello. This is,
Oh, look at this. This is some professional video shot by our own Corey Banky.
This is Greg Jennings. And he caught it. Yeah, he caught it. This is Aaron Rodgers running for a first down right in front of me.
I'm not ashamed.
Same play, same drive.
I love that you say I'm not ashamed.
Go, go, go! Move them chains.
And this is the touchdown.
Now listen to Corey right after Jones catches
it. You're not going to see the end of the touchdown.
No.
You won't see him catch
it. It's great.
But he caught it, as we all know.
Touchdown! All right, we need to call the NFL writer for the Boston Globe. A gentleman who may be familiar to some or familiar to all. He's number one in your hearts. And at this moment.
Number one in your heart.
And at this moment, he's on his way. He's driving to a television appearance. That's right, he's big time now. So we'll see if he answers the phone.
He might not answer.
He may be larrying us as well. Always a possibility.
He's a big time writer now.
He's big
time,
you know. He's a little too preoccupied for guys like us.
Who is this?
Oh, look at that!
Oh,
Greg Bedard! Break out the Bedard siren! Oh my goodness!
Well, there's no green room. I'm just straight on.
You're just straight on. When you come on in the middle of a segment, son, it's just live on the air. How are you tonight, Greg?
Well, let's turn that off for a second.
I'm doing just dandy now that I think I got on the right way on the Mass Pike. Last time I took a phone call and was trying to do this, I ended up in Worcester, which was not good. So, yeah.
Oh, well, Greg Bedard.
Doing pretty good.
It's nice of you to take time out of your busy schedule as a big-time television personality.
Big time!
To come on our little rinky-dink show. So thanks for joining us tonight.
Well, since I heard you had Schefter on last week, I mean, I guess I have to come on now.
Yeah, we're kind of like kingmakers, you know? you're not anything until you've been on this show. But, of course, you've been on this show, so.
Many times.
All right, so, Greg, what did you think of the Packers win over the Eagles last week?
I thought it was very good. It wasn't surprising. I picked a pretty similar score. I don't know. I thought the Eagles were entirely overhyped by people. I mean, you're talking about a team with a terrible offensive line, not very good on defense, truthfully, outside of Asante Samuel, cornerback, and Trent Cole. So I thought the Packers should win, and then you factor in the Packers' usual offensive struggles on the road, then it makes for a tight ball game. So I think the Packers kind of got bailed out a little bit. The offense got bailed out by the defense at the end. I don't know what Michael Vick was thinking throwing at Tremont Williams. I don't know why anybody does that, starting with about the midpoint of the season, but the Eagles did, and they paid, and so they blew their chance.
Were you surprised?
Thank you.
Corey, thank you.
Woo!
Still cold from the link. Were you surprised at the output from James Starks? I mean, you've been watching this guy now, or you saw this guy this last summer before he made the move to the Globe, you know, and I know he was injured at the beginning of camp, and no one saw him running then, but were you surprised at his output?
Maybe a little bit, not really, just because the Eagles, you know, without Stuart Bradley and some other guys, they just aren't very good up front, especially in the middle of that line. And as long as the offensive line did their job, and I thought they had a great game, you know, for the most part, especially in the run, I thought the Packers did an excellent job. I wasn't that surprised. I mean, you know, I make jokes on Twitter about Starks, and obviously some people take those seriously.
Oh,
actually,
who doesn't at this point? Come on.
They're actually, if people actually, you know, took themselves a little less seriously, would realize that most of my jokes were aimed at the irrational fans who thought, you know, we don't need Marshawn Lynch. We have James Starks. And, you know, our running game, James Starks is going to be it. I mean, you know, that's simply not the case. And I don't care what he did against Philadelphia. It doesn't really change anything. You know, if people really go back and they read my blog posts from, like, rookie minicamp, they'll see that I was pretty high on Starks. I was very intrigued by him. He was definitely an unconventional running style, you know, as far as this day and time. And he actually kind of reminded me a little bit of Jim Brown, a little bit of Ernie Davis, kind of in his, you know, just he's got a little, you know, it's hard to describe his running style. And I don't think you've actually really seen it yet because, you know, he's still a young guy. He hasn't had that many carries. He's not really in a groove. He's more like, you can just tell his mentality is, I'm getting the ball and I'm just going.
Right.
And going on instinct.
Yeah.
I think once he gets more comfortable, and actually if he gets more comfortable, because I still think the injury thing is going to determine, you know, what kind of player James Starks is. He didn't have a good history in college. He doesn't have a good history in the pros so far. But I think if he stays healthy and he gets a chance to develop, I think you're going to see a guy with a little bit of a swerve. He's got a very good balance. He's got very good feet. He has this kind of an ability to kind of wiggle through the line and slide off tackles or avoid tackles with just kind of slight movement. So, I was very impressed with him early on. I still have a question about a running back that tall in this day and age, how long they can last. But I thought in the role that the Packers had set for him, kind of a change of pace guy, do kickoff returns, that kind of thing. I thought he could do a really good job because he wouldn't be asked to do that much. But obviously he did a good job against the Eagles, but I wouldn't go overboard about it because, you know, look, the guy had his debut and then he didn't play for a while. And, you know, nobody really knows him in the league. There's not a lot of film. So Atlanta is going to be much better prepared for him than the Eagles were.
Well, speaking of Atlanta, we were just talking about this. Do you think McCarthy kind of goes back to the game plan that they used the first time around, spreading it out, throwing it around? I mean, they're in a dome, and we all know McCarthy's wheelhouse is the passing game. I have trouble believing that you're going to see a whole lot of power sets, and I just think that McCarthy's going to go with what he loves, and that's the spread passing game.
Yeah, I don't know. He usually likes, you know, his MO is kind of the second time around. He likes to change things up. I mean, we've seen that in the past with the Vikings where he, you know, one time he wouldn't even try to run at the Williams wall, and then the next time around they ran and ran with success. I can tell you that, you know, people might say that, you know, this is kind of obvious, but I don't know. It kind of surprised me when I was talking to some NFL people, but It's much harder to run on the road than it is at home. So what, you know, the Packers were able to do last week definitely says something. Going into a dome is definitely tougher, but, you know, we'll have to see. I think he'll still pass, but I think you could see a different attack, maybe more of the tight ends. I don't know what driver status is this week.
He's supposed to go. He's supposed to be all right.
Yeah, I mean, but we've heard that before with them, and
that's
Driver's
true.
Gone, and he's been just not effective at all, and he shouldn't even be out there.
Hey, I got a question for you. Speaking of wide receivers, and since you don't have to worry about repercussions from the Packers anymore, and because no one listens to this show, can you tell us anything about how the Packers, behind closed doors, have addressed in the past James Jones's inconsistencies? I know you had tweeted about it after the Miami game, and, you know, obviously he had a huge drop again against Philadelphia. Are you privy to anything like maybe Jimmy Robinson has done or Joe Philbin has said or anything like that where, you know, has Jones been sat down? Has he been reprimanded at any point, or is it just kind of, oh, he's a professional, he's got to just pick it up?
Well, I mean, I know they've been ticked off at him on several occasions, and but it's mostly not. I mean, it's hard to get really upset about to a guy, you know, about dropping a ball. That, you know, it's with Jones, it's been more of, I think what they've mostly been disappointed with him is just his overall toughness, whether it's his physical toughness or I think his mental toughness, where I think a lot of, you know, his drops and lack in focus comes from. He just doesn't he's not a grinder. He just, you know, I think that's really disappointed them. And yeah, you know, he's been yelled at a few times, but that's not really the MO of that coaching staff, you know, unless it's some real like young punk who, you know, needs to be scared straight. You know, they pretty much deal with the guys like they're professionals, and you know, James Jones knows when he drops passes, but
right.
You know, as James Jones would probably tell you in the third person.
Okay, hey, really yes, quickly, we got about a little less than 5 minutes. Switching over to the defensive side, did you think the Sporting News awarding Clay Matthews Defensive Player of the Year was warranted, and do you think he'll win the AP award?
Do I think it was warranted? I've been so wrapped up with the Patriots playoff run that I'm trying to remember who's really in the mix for that. Gatta from Baltimore, I know, has a lot of support.
Right.
Matthews kind of disappeared for a stretch, even though, you know, he was doing a good job and he was getting double teamed. That's got to affect him. I think he has as good a chance as anybody. I mean, if you look at his overall body of work, the kid had a hell of a year. And, I don't think that you can say that was a bad choice at all. I think there are a lot of guys who are worthy of it this year. It's just going to be like, you know, what's your pleasure? I mean, do you like, you know, big guys who dominate inside and kind of change games, or do you like guys who make big plays and make sacks? So, take your pick.
And in the secondary, last time the Falcons and the Packers, you know, faced off, so to speak, Roddy White had kind of a quiet game, just I think a little under 70 yards, if I remember right. Do you think Mike Smith and Mularkey will work a little harder to get him open this time, or will they just keep running their offense, and if it's not there, they won't force it to him?
Yeah, you know, I covered Mularkey in Miami, Saban's first season, and from what I remember, he's not a guy who does a whole lot of tinkering. I mean, he likes his trick plays, and he likes to do, you know, have different game-specific, game plan-specific things against opponents, but he doesn't – I don't think he really changes many things schematically. So, you know, I watched that game. I don't remember a whole lot from it. I don't know as far as I remember, Roddy White is pretty much a left, you know, he's the wide receiver on the left side,
yeah,
if I recall. And that's, you know, and the Packers pretty much, you know, that's where Tremont Williams is. So see them flipping sides?
Yeah.
No, I don't really see that. That's not really Mularkey's MO, but then again, they have had 2 weeks to work on it. So if they wanted to, if they thought, all right, I think we have a good chance of drawing whether it's the Packers and Tremont Williams or the Eagles and Asante Samuel, they both play the right side. You know, let's work on putting Roddy in motion more, flipping him to the other side. I could see that happening, but in general, that's not Mularkey's MO.
All right. Real quickly, how do you see it going down Saturday night in the Georgia Dome?
I think it's going to be pretty similar to what we saw the first time around. But, you know, I do think the short week is an issue. I know some of the Packers fans are complaining about it, but it's just the way it goes. I mean, I know I covered a Dolphins team that played on the West Coast on Sunday, last game, and played the first game on the East Coast on Saturday. It happens every year. I don't know. I haven't really got this one in my mind yet. I am probably leaning towards taking the Falcons just because, and I'm not overly impressed with the Falcons, and I can't tell you enough how impressed I am with what Dom Capers has done this season. A lot of my fears for that team are on the defensive side of the ball, and who would have thought that, you know, coming into the playoffs that I'd be more worried about Mike McCarthy and his offense than Dom Capers and his injury-riddled defense. I mean, I think that speaks volumes. This Packers team, if you look at it, they're not very sharp on the road. They get off to slow starts. They're prone to turnovers. They're prone to penalties. And, you know, I don't know where that comes from. I don't know what the problem is. I think if you look back, you will see that the Packers hardly ever blow anybody out on the road, aside from Brett Favre on his last legs.
An imploding Vikings team. Right, right.
Yeah.
And they shut out the Jets. You know,
yeah, I mean, but the offense wasn't overly impressive. And the Jets, even though I'm not taking anything away from that victory because it was awesome. It was. But, no, Jets defense has kind of been exposed, and I'm surprised. I think the Packers had a lot of drops in that game, but you know, the Packers have not been the Packers offense of Lambeau on the road. They just haven't, and I think it's going to be a close game, and it's going to turn. You know, who do you trust more? Do you trust more the Falcons taking care of the ball and making a big play, or is it the Packers? I think it's going to be real close. I'm going to say the Falcons by 3.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live here at Packer Transplants. The mystery guest will have to wait just a little bit longer. They are just momentarily detained.
Just a little bit longer.
Just a little bit longer. Just a little bit. But in the meantime, and even better, we have Greg Rosenthal from NBC Sports, Pro Football Talk. There he is on your screen. Greg, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I feel like I'm a huge letdown right now for everyone waiting for this mystery guest.
Hardly. Hardly. Please. When we have Greg Rosenthal, everybody snaps to attention. So, Greg, let's get right to it. Preseason, your pick to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, the Green Bay Packers. How are you feeling about that right now?
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good about it. Certainly better than I was a few weeks ago. I mean, I don't think any of these teams in the NFC are unbeatable, and I think the Packers, the way they're playing right now, that they would remain my pick. I'm not just biased. They were my pick though last year to win the Super Bowl too, though. So.
Yeah, well, we won't mention that. we'll keep the mystery alive for a little while. I did want to bring up a post that you had up moments after. Well, maybe not moments, but a little bit after the Packers pulled out the game against the Eagles. About the coming of age, so to speak, of the core, the young core of the Packers, and I thought that was a great observation. I think you hit the nail on the head as far as what you're seeing from a young team that Thompson's put together. Are you surprised at that? Are you surprised that they've had so many young, inexperienced guys kind of stepping up and making plays?
I'm not, because I think they've had great continuity. If anything, I expected it to come earlier. I mean, I think they've had great continuity with the guys in their system, and obviously there's new guys that are stepping to the fore this year, but especially on offense. I mean, when they're going, they're as good as anyone, and the way that the defense is playing right now, too, I mean, that's been impressive, but I don't know. I'm not surprised at all. I think because that's how you win in the NFL, is with continuity. They're kind of doing it the old school way, like building a team. And that's why I feel so good about them this week and in general, is I think this is sort of the natural progression for them.
Have you been, I guess not surprised, but have you thought, as you watched Rodgers this year, everyone's talking about, and you and I had a little back and forth on Twitter about Joe Flacco and about the MVP and things like that. But have you been surprised at kind of how Rodgers struggled a little bit out of the gate? Or did you never buy into the hype to begin with, and you just thought that would kind of how it would play out from the beginning?
Well, first of all, Joe Flacco, since week 2, 26 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. How about that?
Nice.
But Aaron Rodgers, I'm not too surprised that he started out slow. I mean, it happens. I think you made a great observation that he's starting to make the smart, safer plays. And that's sort of the thing that worries me, and I'm sure you guys too, is the Packers can look so good for a while, and yet they're playing the team in Atlanta that if they do one thing well, it's basically avoid mistakes and be really efficient. They're really middle of the pack in yardage on both sides of the ball, and yet they're in the top 5 in points. It's very Patriots-like. They don't turn the ball over. They don't really commit penalties, whereas Rodgers, to a lesser extent, and the Packers, you know, that's their bugaboo, and Mike McCarthy is basically making that brain fart.
Yeah, and it's a perfect point you make about the Falcons, you know, everyone says they're so well coached and how they don't make the big mistake. But do you put any credence into the I mean, you saw they don't turn the ball over until you get to the last couple of weeks, and you've got Michael Turner, who hasn't fumbled all year, fumbling two games in a row. Do you put any credence to the, and I know they've had a week to rest, but that, you know, maybe he in particular is wearing down a little bit?
I think I do, because he has in the past, and you look at his last, I think, 3 or 4 weeks, I did the numbers, and he's under 3.3 yards per carry. I forget if the last 3 or 4 games, he's kind of slowed down at the end of the year. They're not an explosive offense. They can't blow out anyone. I mean, they can't blow out the Bengals. They can't blow out the 49ers. They had, I think, 7 straight games in the Georgia Dome that were one-score games. So everyone all got on this thing that they're unbeatable at home, and they have been unreal in the fourth quarter. But they can't blow anyone out. And I think you kind of saw it in that Packers game. They played a very clean game with long drives, and that just leads to a lot of close games. And if they don't have Turner going, there's just not much at receiver other than Roddy White. Tony Gonzalez is much slower than he used to be, and Michael Jenkins is a really poor second receiver. So they need Turner.
Switching it over, looking at the, you know, the Falcons defense against the, you know, the Packers offense, lots been made about James Starks bursting onto the scene. But do you think that the secondary is obviously the weak point for the Falcons? Do you see them continuing on just trying to pick apart the secondary the way they did?
Well, I mean, it depends how they attack them. I think James Starks is going to have chances, because I think the Falcons will think the same way the Eagles did, which is they'll take their chances with Green Bay running, and they're going to have to double people. Dunter Robinson needs to play better. I mean, he's been an average at best cornerback. Brent Grimes had a great year for them at cornerback, but that's why it's hard not to pick the Packers in these games. If you look at the matchups on one side, especially at the receivers and the cornerbacks on both sides, really, and you like the Packers' chances. So I think they're going to do everything they can to slow down the passing game and make Green Bay go on long drives and hope for mistakes, so, sort of the model that they did in the first game. And I wouldn't surprise me at all that see Starks have another big game.
Getting away from the Pack for just a second, because we know you cover the NFL, obviously, over there at Pro Football Talk. And I know this is more Mike Florio's ballywick, but how do you see, I mean, we're 44 days away from the end of the CBA, and obviously a lot of talk back and forth going on in the media between the union and the league. Do you seriously think they will let the CBA expire? And do you think that a lockout will then ensue? And do you think that both sides are set? Because we know they haven't met since Thanksgiving. Do you think they're just both done talking and they're just going to let a lockout happen and then we'll see from there?
No, there'll be a flurry of activity after the Super Bowl, I think, and they'll try to get it done. But I've been saying for 6 or 9 months that I think it would have been, if Las Vegas was setting the odds on a lockout, I mean, I think it would have been the heavy favorite for a long time. And Mike, you know, Florio, he knows the situation better than me, and he's always been a little more optimistic that they would figure it out beforehand. But I always thought the over-under on them getting this done was August or September, something like that. And that's sort of the feeling you get from both sides.
Well, we can definitely hope. And as everyone knows, the draft will go on, regardless of what happens with the CBA. All right, Greg, put you on the spot one last time. Your prediction for Saturday night.
I'm going to go Packers 27, Falcons 23.
That is what we like to hear. Greg, you're an absolute scholar and a gentleman for joining us tonight. Thank you so much. We'll definitely be checking out your stuff over at Pro Football Talk.
All right, man. I'm looking forward to the mystery guest, man.
Thanks a lot. Have a great night.
Later, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Rosenthal, NBC Sports, Pro Football Talk. Pro Football Talk, which now has a daily, not weekly, daily live call-in show. Pretty impressive stuff for a blog that was started by a guy in his basement. He's living, Florio and Rosenthal, living the dream over there, getting bought by NBC. Ladies and gentlemen, the mystery guest is officially Larry-ving us. officially. And I would like to point out, booked by Corey Banks.
Oh, man.
Booked by Corey Banks.
So apparently people who listen to the live mobile app can
they
actually
hear
us.
Hear the break. No break music for people who listen on the live app.
Oopsie.
Little design quirk we didn't know about.
Mm. We'll make sure to pay attention to that from now on.
I love it. So we're filling, people.
No, we don't
we're
need
filling
to fill
time.
In. Should we try something?
I don't think so because okay. He's not expecting the call. I don't like totally. Everyone tweet Tom Crabtree and tell him to call us because we need him to be the mystery guest. Our mystery guest is ready.
Till our mystery guest is.
Although if I know Tom, he's probably watching a movie.
Yeah,
that cat watches more movies than anybody I know. It's unbelievable. Banky, I love how you roll away from the mic now that you're in the crosshairs. Good Lord. Good Lord. But yeah, should I tell people who it is? Like, I feel like
no.
We should let them know.
Nope. Because I'm still holding out hope.
Still holding hope.
I'm holding out hope. I was very excited.
Should we
last
take an
night.
Early break?
No.
No?
No.
Should we take calls?
No, we have stuff to talk about.
I don't feel like we do. I feel like the whole world was waiting for the mystery guest.
Not the world, but definitely the Packer world we live in.
Oh, I love it. See, people want us to tell them.
No, can't do it. Can't do it. We'll do it when it happens, because it'll happen, and it'll be a beautiful thing.
It will be a beautiful thing. I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
So there you go.
I guess the mystery just has to live for a little bit longer. So wait, Corey.
Oh, see, you got people saying that we're flailing in Tom Crabtree now. People are Twittering that we're flailing.
No, we're not flailing. I told Tom we were going to call him tonight because we have to celebrate his first touchdown. More importantly,
there you go.
His I can't hear you, Philly, celebration. Because how hot was that? That was fantastic. No, there's no flailing going on here. Tom even said, am I the mystery guest? Although he wasn't. That was very nice of him. That was very nice of him to say. So, Corey.
Yes.
Philadelphia. People.
CD, not good to tell Tom Crabtree he's the backup prom date. Actually, he wasn't. I just saw that he was, when he said, hey, am I the mystery guest? I was like, oh, man, how cool would it be to have Tom Crabtree on after his first touchdown?
That would be fantastic. But I don't want to bug the guy.
You know?
He's a busy pro football player. So although I will say there were a couple people who I approached to be on this week who do play for the Packers who were all like, oh, I'm busy. They're all focused, which is good. I'd much rather they were focusing on being the Atlanta Falcons than coming on this two-bit program whose mystery guests larrivee them when when they're ready to call them.
All right.
Corey Banky, you're like
this
totally,
show is going so well.
I know, right? You're like totally thrown. I love it. I've never seen you like this.
No, it's
I've
fine.
I've never seen you
it's
like
fine.
This.
It's fine. I'm excited.
I'm telling you, let's take an early break. We take an early break. You try and do what you can do. And we come back. We'll either have the mystery guest or we won't. And then we'll reveal who the mystery guest was going to be.
Maybe we'll reveal it then.
You're going to take this to the bitter end.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to an early break. When we come back, we may or may not have the mystery guest. And if we don't, we'll take some calls so people can tell us, A, how they feel about the Eagle game, B, what they think is going to happen against the Falcons, and C, they can yell at us for not having a mystery guest when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live here at Packer Transplants, offering a full refund for those of you who have come for the mystery guest.
Man.
We got to tell people, Corey. Got to tell them. And you have to do it because it was your booking.
The mystery guest was one of my favorite people on the face of the earth, my great aunt Gert. She's been to Packer fan games. She's been to Packer games since 1948, and she doesn't have call waiting, so she's probably on the phone. Oh, yeah.
Aunt Gert said she was going to come on the show and then stiffed us.
I was really excited about it last night, and that's why I tweeted it out. And, yeah, normally she plays cards on Tuesday nights, which is why she watches our show on replay. And, yeah, she's watched it live before.
Which is why she gets so upset when I swear. And so Corey was so excited to have her on live. Someone who's been...
Andy, man, we got larrivee'd by Aunt Gert.
We got larrivee'd
yeah.
by Aunt Gert.
Basically. one of the greatest Packer fans I've ever known in my whole entire life.
There you go. And people kept saying, like, it's the biggest star, it's because this.
Man.
Corey said it was his favorite guest ever.
It's just my favorite. I've just been trying to get her on the show for 2 years, and now you can see how hard it has been. Man.
Oh, my goodness. That is awesome. Anchor.
She did turn 86 yesterday, so, you know, maybe she had a party to go to.
We'll cut her a break because she's 86.
I mean, 86.
Anchor, if you're listening to this on the replay.
She's not.
You owe us.
Oh, on the replay.
On the replay, you owe us.
Yeah.
Big time. And everyone who took time out of their busy schedule to check out the mystery guest on Cheesehead TV. Aunt Gert, officially Laraving.
Everybody wants us to talk Packers.
All right, so let's talk some Packers. Let's take some calls.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
Throw the number up. What the hell?
Slow down.
Why not? People got to say what's on their mind. People got to talk about being disappointed about no mystery guest.
Let's talk about any Packer fans out there going to the Atlanta game. Email us, contact@cheeseheadtv.com if you want to get together to tailgate. It's always fun to play Twitter, find the Packer fan scavenger hunt in the parking lot. Been doing it all year here. Jets game,
nice.
DC game. There you go.
There we go.
Whoa.
Ringing off the hook. Oh, dear.
You're on Packer Transplants.
Corey Mankey, how are you?
Oh, Alex Talish.
Hey, Talish made it.
Talish.
How are you now,
How are
Alex?
You guys? I got to say, I'm really bummed. My first intention was to call in here and, like, laugh, but since it was Aunt Gert, it's like, man, I am kind of bummed. So
it's
I'm
bumming, right? It's just awful. I feel terrible that we don't have the mystery guest for everybody, and I feel bad that Aunt Gert is on the phone chatting away and doesn't have call waiting.
It tamed me. I was all ready to come in here with hell and fire, and now it's just like, oh, really?
I know.
So
what about this? What about this game? What about your throwdown with Bill Johnson? Let's talk some Packers. What about this Falcon game? How are you seeing it?
I like the Packers, man. I always like the Packers. You know that. Of course, I'm not going to pick against them. But I'm more confident about this game than Philadelphia. I know Bobby Ard got done basically saying that Philadelphia was a horrible team and we only won because of that. But I think that I like our chances better, and I like our chances for winning by a large amount better in this game. I don't know why. It's a gut feeling. Maybe it's just because I'm happy, because I'm going camping, getting out of here. But I like the Packers in a big way.
In a big way? All right.
A big way.
But a big way as in, like, 31-7, like my Madden preview?
Like 27-14, big way.
Okay, I'll buy that. I'll buy that for a dollar. Where are you going camping?
We are going up to New Auburn, Wisconsin.
Nice.
The Ice Age Trail.
There you go.
We're going to sled in all our stuff. We're going to build igloos. We're going to have a good time. And then we're going to go to some dive bar and watch the Packer game Saturday night.
That is awesome.
That's how it's done here.
All right. Well, Alex, thanks so much for calling in. You're the man, the myth, the legend, Packers Lounge in the house. Thanks a million.
Yeah, the man you wouldn't tell me with a mystery guest, too. I just want to get that out there. I thought I was part of this whole thing, and I asked everybody, and no one would tell me. So.
Well, because we tried to keep it to just Corey and I, and I think maybe Brian knew, but that was it.
I'm hurt.
Oh, stop now.
He's hurt.
Have a great night, Alex.
Yeah, we'll see you later. Bye.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, in 10 minutes, we're going to call Tom Silverstein.
Well,
from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Hold on.
Oh, my gosh. There might be a save in the future.
Uh-oh.
Look out.
Joining us.
Hopefully.
Here we go.
Don't say it before. Don't do it, Corey.
Good evening.
Aunt Gert?
Yes.
Yes! Aunt Gert on the phone! Woo! I think you were on the phone, Aunt Gert. What was going on? You were on the phone earlier.
Aunt Gert,
are you there?
Can you hear me?
Oh. I can hear you sometimes, but you faded out before. What happened?
I don't know. Joining us on the phone is one of the reasons I ever became a Packer fan. She has been attending games since 1948 after marrying a former Green Bay Press Gazette paperboy. She taught business education at Brilliant High School for over 42 years. One of the most diehard Packer fans I have ever had the pleasure meeting. The one, the only, Aunt Gert.
How are you tonight, Aunt Gert?
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you.
So, Aunt Gert, tell us about the first Packer game you ever attended and what you remember
about
it.
The first Packer games I ever attended were way over at Green Bay East, the high school field, just an old stadium with bleacher seats that were just boards, you know, with the metal things, you know, with the wind blowing up underneath. And would you believe, when we went to those games, everybody had to wear your heels and your Sunday best. The men wore suits. There was no green and gold. I mean, I think we got it made now. We're really living now when we dress more casual, really. Okay?
So what do you remember about the game?
What do I remember about the game? Not very much, because I wouldn't dare talk to my husband because he was watching the game, and it was just like going to church. You sit next to him, but you don't talk or say anything. And you have to figure out the game all for yourself. And, of course, not having had a football team in our little high school, it was kind of foreign to me. But I learned in a hurry. I tell you, I was a quick learner.
So tell us about, I know the answer to this question, but tell us about your favorite Packer all time.
My all-time favorite Packer? Oh, I'm going to say Paul Hornung, I suppose.
Yeah, nice. I knew that. And wait, tell us why, though. Tell us why.
Tell us why? Oh, the golden boy was very good to look at. It wasn't hard on the eyes at all.
There you go. So,
there were a lot of others, though, that were very good, too. I mean, good old Ray Nitschke, he and his wife were just, they were very much favorites of mine, too. They were a good team, very good.
So what was the most memorable game that you went with my Uncle Kenny to?
The Snow Bowl. The Ice Bowl, rather. Ice Bowl, I better not say Snow Bowl. The Ice Bowl, the New Year's Eve one where we won, where Paul Hornung made the winning touchdown. Was it Paul Hornung or Bart Starr? Now I don't know. Oh, we were dressed, we didn't have all of this, we didn't have any hand warmers or foot warmers or anything like that. We just had the old snowsuits to wear and the old winter coats, you know, and we were bundled up. But we stayed warm. We saw to it that we put a little liquid in, you know, in our system, a little alcohol, which helps, you know, in a car.
There you go. Yep.
Oh, that's great.
So anyway, we had a good time. We had a very, very good time that night, especially after the Packers won. It was great. It was just great. So.
That's awesome. So, Ankert, we're looking to you for the prediction for Saturday and the Packers in the playoffs. What do you think?
Well, I will say if they can contain Turner, Michael Turner from the Falcons, if they can contain him, and if Jones doesn't fumble, we got to get to Jones and tell him not to fumble, we could be on the winning side, either 17-14, I'll say, or I'll go 24-20. But that's a pretty, I don't think we're going to make that much of a score. I really, really don't. Of course, we got Kuhn. Remember, number 30, I have to get a Kuhn sweatshirt or a T-shirt. Oh, absolutely.
There you go.
He's my boy this year.
There you go.
He's my boy this year.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely has the feisty Aunt Gert. So,
oh, yes.
So, Aunt Gert, I'm so happy to finally have you on the show. I love you so much. You are amazing. And happy birthday. It was your 86th birthday yesterday, and all Packer fans are saying happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday, Aunt Gert.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Thank you. Yes, I had a good day, and my son and his family are coming this weekend, so we're going to celebrate again. You know, when you get to be 86, you have to celebrate a little bit one day and then a little more the next weekend, you know.
Yeah.
You have two birthdays. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling us from Brilliant, Wisconsin. Aunt Gert, hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you for having me on. I enjoyed it. I watched the whole thing tonight. I'm reading all the comments here. It's very interesting. Very interesting. Okay.
Love
and
you,
hello
Ankert.
To your friend, too. Hello to your friend over there, too.
I'll tell him hi.
Thanks, Ankert.
Bye, Ankert.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my. That was the greatest 5 minutes of
Anchor
Packer transplants.
I'm telling you.
Ever.
She is.
Ever.
This is why she
ever.
Is the mystery guest.
Okay, so we need to put that, just that, just her, ever since she's been on the phone, till right now when she just hung up. And we need to put that as an MP3, and we have to make it available for download on the iTunes feed. Just that bit. We'll have the regular show, but just
she's
the
awesome.
Anchor bit.
She's amazing.
That was awesome.
And the thing is, like, at 86, she still has everything. Like,
86! She's talking about James Jones dropping the ball. She's talking about John Kuhn. Come on! She's talking about having to contain Michael Turner. Are you kidding me? Love Anchor. And Anchor, I'm sorry for every time I've ever swore on this program.
I told her, I said we always say her name when anytime you and I cuss or even get close to cussing. She's the matriarch of Cheesehead TV. I didn't want to say that on, you know,
because
I don't want her to take offense to that, but definitely is the matriarch in my world of Cheesehead TV.
Oh, that was epic. That was epic. That was awesome. Corey, Banky, you were correct. Best guest ever. Oh, she reminded me so much of my grandma.
I know.
That's why. And like the whole thing about watching it at the high school.
I'm telling you, she taught at the same high school for 42 years. Brilliant high school. It's crazy.
Dude, I'm about to tear up over here.
It's amazing. Like, she's an amazing woman.
Awesome.
She's sitting in Brilliant, Wisconsin right now. And you know
middle
what?
Of winter.
Yep.
Talking about the Packers.
There you go.
Oh, I love it.
What else is there?
I love it. All right. I got to pull myself together over here because that was so awesome. All right. You know what? We need to call another gentleman.
There you go.
Driving in his car.
All right.
We call people who when they're in their cars. Because that's what we do.
Well.
No time to sit still in our world. Everyone's on the road, on the go, raring to go. I got to say, this was an amazing day. Because this man, who we're about to talk to, hopefully, if he doesn't let it be us, it started following me on Twitter today. Yeah, I couldn't believe it when the email popped in my inbox. And I got to say, it's probably one of the greatest follows I've ever had on Twitter.
We need to let Tom know he's live.
Yeah, well, trust me, I'll let him know. If he picks up the phone. And again, he's driving.
Hello?
Hey, Tom, it's Aaron. You're live on the line. How are you tonight, buddy?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks a lot for joining us. I know you're very busy, and I guess you're traveling at the moment.
Yeah, I just got done with work, and I'm actually staying in Appleton tonight. So I'm on 41. It's nice and icy and pretty lousy. So.
And you're talking to us. Well, you're an absolute champ. So, Tom, what were your impressions from the wild card victory over the Eagles?
Well, you know, I thought the Packers did what they had to do to win the game. I don't think they played flawlessly. I don't think they dominated. But when you play on the road in the playoffs, all you do is try to win. And it doesn't matter if you look pretty. It doesn't matter if you're clicking. You're just trying to win that game. And I thought they did a really good job of, you know, doing what they had to do to win the game. And, you know, I mean, you had the drops, you had the fumbles, and really, you know, it almost came down to Michael Vick making a miracle play. I was sitting there watching it, and I'm thinking, this is the Terrell Owens play from 1998. Oh. You know, I was really thinking that this was what was going to happen. So, all in all, I thought, you know, for a sixth seed, they played well, and they did what they could to, or did what they needed to do to win.
And do you think, I mean, a lot has been made of James Starks and the running game. You've been, like most of the beat writers, you've been cautiously cautioning Packer fans when it comes to Starks. Do you think he's the automatic, running back number one on Saturday night? Or do you think we'll see the usual plethora of guys back there, including Kuhn and Jackson and even Nance?
No, I think he's number one. I think he's option one, two, and three unless he fumbles. They don't have anybody with his kind of talent behind him, and he's far and away their best natural runner. and I'm interested to see how he does on turf. I kind of think he's more of a grass runner, but that'll be seen. I don't know enough about him because I really haven't seen him play all that much. But I'll be kind of interested to see if he's got breakaway ability on the turf. I think he's gets 20 carries on Saturday if the Packers can do it, especially if the Falcons decide they're going to sit back in their zone like they normally do. I think you'll see McCarthy probably try to establish the run early on.
Getting to the defensive side of the ball and Dom Capers, a bunch of people on Twitter today, and you were in that mix as well, talking about the Broncos hiring John Fox as their head coach, essentially taking Dom Capers out of that mix. You had mentioned that you think he's too good of a defensive mind, not to be wasted as a head coach, but where he butters his bread is on the defensive side of the ball. That's what he's really good at. And I know we don't know what his contract status is because he won't talk about it. But do you think he's kind of set up to be the Dick LeBeau in Green Bay? I mean, this guy who was a head coach, just kind of couldn't get it done as a head coach, but is really just an amazing defensive coordinator. And he'll just kind of, not ride off into the sunset, but be by McCarthy's side for as long as McCarthy is here.
Yeah, I think it's possible. But, it's really hard to predict the future in the NFL because, one minute everybody's hiring, these young guns, young offensive coordinators, and the next minute those guys fail, and then everyone's back to, oh, we need a guy with more experience, someone who's been around the block.
Right.
So I wouldn't rule out, that he will get a head coaching job. He's 60 years old. I don't know, his clock is ticking. And you really do have to have, some kind of a finger on the pulse of these younger guys now because it's a young league. And, older guys get tossed aside. And so you have a lot of younger teams. I think, what I was saying about him as a defensive coordinator versus head coach was I think it's a waste of his, his talent, his intelligence to be a head coach because you have to deal with so many other things other than game planning. A lot of your time is dealing with the media and putting out fires, with various players. Mike McCarthy, he gets to call the plays. And but he has a lot of people doing other stuff for him, and he relies on those people quite a bit. So I think that's kind of what I meant by that. But I do see, if he doesn't get a job in the next 2 or 3 years, then I think, that's probably what he's going to be as a Dick LeBeau.
You mentioned young offensive coordinators getting the nod. What did you think about ex-Green Bay Packer head coach Mike Holmgren hiring Pat Shurmur today?
Very interesting. I've heard lots of good things about Shurmur. I really have never talked to him. I don't really know what his acumen, as an offensive coordinator was. They had a good year in St. Louis. But I think it's an interesting hire. I wonder how much Holmgren's going to have his fingers in that pie.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if he hired a guy who, he can sort of control. And you would think that, if Holmgren comes down and says, boy, I think we need to be running that slant a little bit more. Shurmur's going to be running some slants the next week,
You definitely have to think so.
So that's kind of an interesting hire,
Looking at the Atlanta game, and, I see today a lot of the Falcons players are playing the kind of no one's respecting us card. Do you think, we know they're well coached and we know they don't make mistakes, But do you think that they are as good as advertised as the number one seed? Or do you think that they're kind of a product of a watered-down NFC where somebody had to be the number one seed?
Yeah, I think, you know what, I think they're similar to the Bears in that they're a really good team on there. When they play their game and can force it on someone else, they're a really good team. And that's kind of what they've been able to do all season long is play their game. And someone has to take them out of their game. And I think that's kind of what New Orleans did in the last game of the year,
right,
or the second last game of the year, yeah. You know, they sort of blitzed them and showed them a lot of different looks. And, you know, you have to take them out of their comfort zone, which is protecting the ball, running the ball, running a lot of short passes. They're a talented team. You know, they got talent, but they're not a dominating team. You know, kind of like everybody in the NFC.
Right, exactly.
Pretty much.
Exactly. And that's the thing. When I keep looking, I keep watching the first matchup, and you think about how close that game was. And there's lots of things that played into that. Obviously, the Packers getting into the red zone a couple times, coming away with minimal points, the Rodgers fumble. But then the other thing that, you know, really struck me, going back and looking at the first matchup, was the field position battle. The Packers started almost every offensive possession, especially in the first half, deep in their own end, like the 10 to 15-yard line.
Yeah. And
I just think that the improvements that we've seen in special teams, especially with Tim Mastay, over the course of the last month or so, could really come into play. Do you think that there's something to be said for the continuity that we've seen on special teams, and that they're finally getting it, or they've just kind of hit a string of luck here in the last couple of games?
No, I think they're playing very much better on special teams. You know, they had a great game against the Bears. I mean, and that to me is one of the best special teams units in all of football. Philadelphia has been able to play really good special teams at times too. I think, you know, I'm kind of a simple man when it comes to special teams. I really think it comes down to your kickers. You know, I think it's all about those guys. You know, you can have good coverage guys, and that helps. But it's really where you're placing the ball, where your punter, how much hitting time he can get, you know, where he can pin people, or, you know, how well he kicks directionally. I mean, look how much better they've been. Really, you could probably trace it to how well Mastay's been punting.
Yeah.
You know, when he punts well, they seem to play really good special teams. So I've always, you know, it's just kind of come to my way of thinking is that it really just comes down to those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think from the Jets game on, you've really seen Mastay kind of take it to the proverbial next level, where he's really kind of like, just, you know, negating any kind of return and any kind of field position advantage that the other team has. Looking at Saturday night, a lot being made about the Packers having to come off a short week. How much do you think that McCarthy will try and get up early? You know, he tends to do this sometimes where he thinks, and he said this in press conferences before, where I thought the best chance we had was to get up early, take the crowd out of it. Cliche.
Right.
You know, a lot being made out of the short week. What's not being said is that the possibility of Atlanta coming out rusty. I mean, everyone talks about how they'll be well-rested, but, you know, they haven't played football in a while. How much do you think McCarthy will press that issue early on in the game?
Well, you know, I mean, of course, everybody wants to jump out on the road because it takes the crowd out of the game right away.
Right.
But at what expense? You know, are we saying he's going to come out firing the ball down the field and, you know, testing them deep several times? And it's, you know,
I think we lost him.
I think he's still there. Oh, maybe his cell dropped.
Yeah, we dropped.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Tom.
Oh, there he is. Tom, we missed you there for a bit. You're going for a bad stretch of 41.
What's that?
Oh, we missed you there for a little bit. You dropped a little bit. I think you're going
Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, now we got you.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Basically, I was saying, you know, you have to make a decision. You know, what are you? You know, there's two different ways you can take the crowd out of the game. One is with a really big play, you know, so they hit Jennings on a 60-yard touchdown. The other is if you run a 10-play drive and, you know, you're dinking and dunking your way down the field, and the next thing you know, you're in the end zone, and you've just eaten up, you know, 6-7 minutes of the clock. I think that's equally as deflating to a crowd as, you know, tossing the ball up, you know, deep right away. So I would look for them to try to do that first.
Okay, and we couldn't let you get away unless we asked you to make a pick so that we could ridicule you when you're wrong next week. What do you think? What do you think happens there Saturday night?
Well, I'm sort of leaning towards the Falcons just because of the home field advantage. That's really, I think these teams are fairly close. I think the Packers are a better offensive team. I think they're a more explosive team, but I think they're also up and down, and that, you know, they're not as consistent as Atlanta. You know, I don't know that Atlanta's, like I said, I don't think they're a great team. And the Packers are so, you never know which way they're going. They're up, they're down, they're playing well, and then all of a sudden they're not. And I just like consistency in the playoffs, especially in this round. And when a team's at home like that can play consistent, I like them. So I'm going to probably take the Falcons by 3 in this game.
Ouch.
Excellent. I can't wait to tweet you about how you were wrong.
Ouch, Tom. Ouch.
I mean, you would not believe the emails I got when I took, I think it was the Giants over the Packers. You would not, you would have thought that I had just, you know, insulted everybody's mother.
Nice.
Maybe I did. But I do
possibly. Well, all I know is the comments section on your blog does tend to get a little salty when you make your picks against the Packers. So I can only imagine what the email looks like in your private inbox. Tom, thank you so much for joining us, buddy.
It's been a pleasure.
You do great
work. Like I said before, anytime, you know.
Thanks so much. And we'll be reading your stuff over there at JS Online, in the paper,
as
on Twitter.
Always.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Okay, great. I'll talk to you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Silverstein, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, joining us live while he's driving down Highway 41. Tom, buddy, look out for that turn because the trooper is right behind the billboard. You know which one I mean.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
Ladies and gentlemen, this week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series, where we draw your attention to a fan-flippin-tastic post.
By the one, the only,
CD Angeli over at TundraVision.com. People, if you have not read a post from CD entitled "No Excuses, No Regrets, and No Complaining," you are not a Packer fan. Yes, that's right. I called it right now, right here, here on this show. If you have not read that post, you are not a Packer fan. Until you have read that post, you have given up your rights to call yourself a fan of the Green Bay Packers.
But you can't read the post on Packer Chatters. If you read the post on Packer Chatters, you're not a fan.
No. You got to read it on TundraVision.com.
TundraVision. Okay? Because you know what? They don't even let CD link back to TundraVision on Packer Chatters. They'll take his post. They'll take his article. Okay? They'll take all of the content the man will give like blood. Okay? To Packer fans everywhere. But they won't even give him some link love. That's Larry Garrott for you.
Larry, buddy.
Larry.
Why you got to treat CD like that?
Why do you have to treat... You know what? CD, you're better than that. You're better than that.
You got to upgrade CD.
Sorry.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm
anyway.
That was my little...
You rant over. People, seriously, have to read this post. And I don't want to go too much into it because I don't want to spoil it for those who have not read it. It is just unbelievably fantastic. It's a fantastic slice of the heaven that is C. DeAngeli's writing on the Packers. But you know what isn't a little slice of heaven there, CD?
Uh-oh.
I'm going to switch up a little gear shift here.
The little shift?
I'm going to take exception to something you said on Cheesehead Radio about Brandon Jackson going curling up when he's about to get hit in the last Atlanta game. I submit to you this, my friend. Anybody on earth would have looked ridiculous running against the Falcons that day behind that offensive line. And that, to me, is the entire key to the game on Saturday night on the offensive side of the ball. I said it earlier this week on Green and Gold Today. I will repeat it again here now for those of you who don't like to listen to programming that don't talk about the Green Bay Packers. Blocking and tackling. Vince Lombardi said it best. It's a simple game. It comes down to blocking and tackling. Last time against Atlanta, the Packers did a very poor job at both of those things. If they can improve in even one of those areas, but I'd like to improve in both. If they can improve in those areas, they should win on Saturday night.
Look, you know what? You know what? I'm going to be there, okay?
Holla.
And I just got to say one
thing. Holla at you, boy.
I just want to say one thing about some Packer fans on Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, dear.
Okay, Jason Wilde talked about this the other day on his Green and Gold Today, which I was listening to. And it's so crazy how he can tweet while his show was going on.
Yeah,
it's insanity.
It's really hard for me to do
okay,
that.
Okay, I can't
he
do it.
He does it like it's nothing.
Okay, I'm sorry. But you know what separates the fan? This is what separates the real fans from people on technology. Okay? Get off your butt. Go to Cheesehead Tickets, click on the Tickets tab, okay, and get a ticket for Atlanta, okay? Meet up with us on Twitter. You will have the game of your life. You've never seen anything like a game with the Packers in any stadium in the NFL, including Lambeau Field. It's amazing. Playoff games, it's a whole nother thing, okay? That's all I got to say about that.
Corey Behnke, throw in down the gauntlet.
I just think not enough is said about people who go to games. Now, I know it's a rich man's sport, okay? It's kind of annoying that it costs that much. But still, if you can, it's a big difference between going to the game and watching it on TV.
This is true.
It is worlds apart, okay? You know what? I even got mad at Nagler. Okay, I'm driving home from the Philly game. I just got called an asshole 400 times, and Nagler's posting his gut reactions. I'm like, seriously? You know what my gut reactions are? Ugh! We won. And I was, come on!
So, that's right. Let's just roll that back for a second. Corey Behnke was mad at Nagler for providing content to the website that he runs. Just so we're all clear on just exactly why Corey Behnke was mad.
Oh, man.
I think everybody got that? I could diagram it, but I think we all understand.
Look, I hope everybody understands why Anchor had to be the mystery guest.
Oh, my God, that was awesome.
Why I was excited about having her on the show. She's been playing cards. She plays cards every Tuesday night, which is why she can't come on. And so the fact that we're on a Thursday night, it made that all happen. The mystery guest thing got taken out of proportion. But you know what?
In a great way, though.
Hey.
But let me tell you this.
I hope nobody's mad about it.
If anybody's mad about that, they are not a Packer fan. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying.
That was
the
greatest interview ever
in
the history of Cheesehead TV.
She's amazing. And what's upsetting
ever.
Is that my great uncle and great uncles and my grandfather aren't here to be on our show as well. Because you hear my grandpa Banky on the show, man, people would be crying.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, all the knowledge that was lost.
Last conversation I ever had with my grandma, we talked about the Packers over lunch. It was the greatest time I ever spent with my grandma Wilson, my mother's mother. And she talked about the exact same things Angert was talking about. It's such a rich history. That's why we love this team so much. That's why we're pulling for them on Saturday night. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't put it any better than that. The history of the Packers, the passion. You all come here every week to watch Corey and I banter back and forth, to talk to people like Tom Silverstein, Greg Bedard, Greg Rosenthal, and Ankert. We love it. Thank you so much for joining us. Who knows what happens Saturday night? We'll be here next week. Who knows what night? Regardless of the outcome. you know, it's what we do. So big thanks to all our guests. Thanks to Brian Caravu, Holly Phelps, James Jorz, and Alex Talish for
Cheesehead Radio.
Cheesehead Radio for the lead-in. Excellent stuff.
Cheesehead Radio, good
stuff.
The rest
of the crew, you guys really helped make this a unique, you know, the only place on the internet you can find this kind of thing right here, cheeseheadtv.com, Packer Transplants. Go Pack Go on Saturday night. We'll see you next week.